First of all, I'd like to say it's wonderful to be back. Yeah, it's been several weeks since we've been away, and I don't think you'll even notice we've been away, but it's great. it's wonderful to be back. We've got many stories and testimonies of what God has done. So very quickly, does anybody else have a testimony this morning? We want to just praise God because He's a living God. He works in our lives, and while you're thinking, I'll give you a testimony. We were visiting a church in Montana, all right? And the pastor lives on a ranch, 15 horses and hundreds of acres and so forth. And they said, well, the thing to do here is go horse riding. So he said, sure. Now, how many of us have been on a horse before? All of us. You remember a kid, they put you on these little horses, ponies, and you walked up and down. The horses there were huge, 5.5, 6 feet tall. All right, I needed a chair to stand on the horse, so you can imagine. Well, first of all, it was very cold, 2-3 degrees. So in addition to our jackets and all, they gave us additional jackets. It was freezing. So we go out there into the field, and Josh, who's the pastor, says, "You know, this is Betsy, one of my most trusted horses." Great. He's been with us many years and so forth. So we'll put Nawaz on that horse. Wonderful. So Nawaz gets onto the horse. I get the phone out, and I want to videotape what's happening. And suddenly this old horse decides he doesn't want to ride. So he gets down on his front 2 feet and goes down. Oh, no. So Nawaz is on the horse. And so Josh says, "Yeah, get up." And the guy suddenly wakes up. And he comes right up and throws Nawaz off. So Josh is saying, "I can see this happen in slow motion." He was down. Suddenly, he's up and Nawaz is in the air. And she's doing a somersault. And Nawaz says, "Colin, catch me." And I put the phone down and I'm able to, thankfully, I was positioned right behind her, was able to hold her, and she landed straight on her feet. All I can say is that it's the grace and the protection of God. I mean, if we were not positioned there, she could have just fallen on her head, fallen on her back. And we just thank God that every step of the way, He is watching over us. The bad news is my phone didn't record anything. And I couldn't convince Nawaz to do it again. No, that's okay. But just thanking God for His protection. Amen. Anybody else got a testimony? Jess. Let's go. Put it on.
Every night, and this started worrying me. I had seen a doctor, it hadn't stopped. I was giving her the medication that I would give my other kids, it wouldn't work. And towards, 1 month later, I'm exhausted because of no sleep, she's tired. And also I was wondering what's going on, why is this cough happening? It could be an allergy to milk or whatever. And then I put it out in the group and asked for prayer, and we went to another doctor, a homeopathic doctor. And from the very first day that we started the medication and your prayers, she's not coughed till today. So I just want to thank God.
There are times when we don't even pray for something, and God sees what is there in your heart and He just fulfills it. So how many of you have gone for VBS? Many have gone, I guess, but what I felt, I think only those who have never been will understand. As a child, I always wanted to go for Sunday school, but there were some issues between my father and the Sunday school teacher, so I was never able to go. So I always wanted to go. I'm so sorry. So my kids got a chance to go for VBS this last week, and it was really nice. I was so amazed. And the last day, my kids had to perform on the stage. So as they were dancing on one of my favorite songs, deep inside my heart, I was just thinking, oh, I wish I could be there and, you know, just enjoy that moment. And I was so shocked. Those people came and said, all those who parents want to join, just come on the stage and dance. And I was the first one, so shameless. I just got up and I said, I want to dance. And I just enjoyed. But just that one moment, I felt all that I didn't enjoy, God just gave me in that one, just one moment. So I really thank God for answering that.
Hi. So for the last like year, every Sunday, whenever we pray, my prayer request is always just pray for my exams or my test or my boards or whatever. So I finally just want to thank God that I did extremely well in my board exams, and I'm very happy, and I want to thank you guys for praying.
Well done. Congrats, Jessica. By the way, we are giving pedas out at the end of the meeting. Make sure you get yours to celebrate Jessica's wonderful results.
My dad met with an accident last to last week, and he fell down from the bike, and he has got cuts and bruises all over his body, and he has 12 stitches on his head. But other than that, he's perfectly all right. God has protected him from having any harm. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And I have another testimony. I was struggling with a cyst issue from the past 5 years, and it's a recurring kind of cyst. And last December, when I did the scanning, it was around 5 centimeters. So 2 days before, I've undergone a USS scan, and the doctor said the size of the cyst is reduced marginally, and he could not recognize it as an endometrial cyst. And it's like, I told him, I've been praying over it, and he's like, what? Yeah, and the size has got reduced, and thank God for that.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. Some of you all know that 7 months back, my bike got stolen. The other day, Abhishek told me to file an online complaint, and I did. And after 7 months, I got a call from the police, and filed an FIR, and I went to collect the FIR copy, and I was just walking outside the police station, and I saw in the junkyard my bike is nicely kept there, and other bikes are on top of one another. But I want to thank God for the bike that I could see. It was such a relief. I mean, I thought I lost it, you know, no hope. But thank God for the bike. So. Yeah, that's right. No parking anywhere. So just want to thank all those who prayed that time. So just want to thank
Amen.
God.
Isn't the Lord wonderful?
It's my increment. Every year it was just 10% on an average in my company. But this time I did not ask God to bless me. I was just... being normal, and God blessed me with a 25% hike.
Whoa!
So this was like, I never even dreamt of it. So just want to thank God.
Hallelujah. Sundar. Varsha. Oh, sorry. Wow, this is amazing. God is on the move.
Yeah. I just want to thank God that after 4 months of being unemployed, which is the longest for me, I finally got a job. So I'm just very, very thankful.
Sundar. I really want to thank God. I underwent a surgery on both my eyes, and I really want to thank you for all your prayers that I'm free. I'm without glasses. This is the first time ever in my life. I've been having glasses from, I think, 10th standard, and I have no idea the vision that I had lost, to be very honest. I mean, when they had done left eye surgery, left eye was really brilliant and my right was bad. That's when I realized how bad my vision was, because my right eye had a yellow tint and left eye was beautiful. So I really thank God that I can see all the colors, and I really know that first question Hazel asked, I'll be more beautiful for you now. I said, I had no answer, but yeah, definitely sure. I really thank God for that. Thank you.
Amen. Glory. Last one is, oh, sorry. Glory.
Hello, my name is Glory. I thank God for, I've passed my internal exams with good percentage and with good marks. I thank to church. I thank to gym group. Thank you.
Whoa. Amen. Well, wasn't that wonderful to see God at work in so many lives? Why don't we put our hands together and give the Lord a big hand for all that? Woo. You know, and the words that came this morning about people being in difficult situations and the way we handle this is Ephesians 6 tells us about this shield of faith. Yeah, we hold up the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. What it means is we don't look at our situation and, you know, meditate on our situation, but we meditate on God's promises. All right, you remember Abraham? Yeah, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. But he gave glory to God, being convinced that God had power to raise the dead. All right, so I thought that I'd just throw that in. Today is Sunday, and it's also Mother's Day. All right? Let me see. How many mothers are here? Put your hand up, right up. Let me see. How many mothers do we have here? I mean, we have some grandmothers as well, but one grandmother there. Any grandmothers? One, and that's two. Vinod's. All right, superb. So we got that. So wonderful to see all these mothers and all here. Okay, now, you know, there are many, apart from Mother's Day, there are many other days that come up. Remember that? There's Friendship Day. Then what else is there? Father's Day, of course. Then Children's Day. And the teachers. There are lots of things that happen. Now, so we say, why are we talking about Mother's Day on a Sunday morning? Is it just a fad? Now, just to tell you how it started. In the 1900s in America, there was a person called Anna Jarvis, and she wanted to honor her mother. All right, and she conceived Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. Okay, that's how Mother's Day started. Anybody who's been in the delivery room knows the sacrifices involved. Yeah, men have no clue, but there's great sacrifices involved in delivering us by our mothers. And the question is this just a fad, or is it something worth celebrating? And when these things happen, what we need to do is we need to align things, and we need to check if they align with the plumb line or the measuring stick of the Bible, all right? And in Deuteronomy 5 verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The Bible speaks about honoring our parents, father and mother. Okay, and in Ephesians chapter 6, verse, and this same command is repeated several times in Scripture. In the New Testament, Jesus says it in Matthew 15:4, okay? And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, Paul repeats it and says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You know, today people are saying, how can I live longer? The solution is here. It says, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. All right? And so this morning, we're going to look at God's Word and see how we can celebrate Mother's Day. So can we pray? Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you are the sovereign ruler of the universe and you've blessed us with mothers and fathers. We thank you especially for mothers this morning, Lord. We want to look at your Word this morning so that we can honor and appreciate our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at three mothers in the Bible this morning, okay? The first one is, it's very difficult to pronounce, Jochebed. Anybody heard of her? J-O-C-H-E-B-E-D. Whose mother was she? Moses' mother, that's right. Moses' mother. Well done. We can't pronounce her name. It's tough. But, you know, this is an amazing lady. Okay, what's so amazing about this mother? Okay, so if you know the story about the Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt, right? The Israelites were just 70 people. They went down to Egypt. They were there for 400 plus years, and they were slaves. And they had grown from 70 people to 2.5 million people. Wow, amazing. But they were slaves. And the new king in Egypt had come up there in Egypt. And he did not know anything about Joseph and his great contribution to preserving the Egyptians and the Israelites. Okay? And what this king was concerned about was that the Israelites were rapidly growing and they would outnumber the Egyptians. So he commanded the midwives to take every Israelite boy that was born and to kill them. And of course, the midwives said they wouldn't do that. They didn't do it. And then he says, well, any boy that is born, throw him into the Nile, into the river. And Joe, we'll call her Joe for short. Joe gave birth to several children, but one of them was a boy, and she couldn't hide him any longer. And you must know the story. So she takes a little basket, covers with tar and pitch, and puts baby Moses into that basket and puts him on the river Nile. And then we know that Pharaoh's daughter hears the crying and asks that the basket be brought to her. And to cut a long story short, is that Miriam goes up there, that's Moses' sister, and says, you know, do you want somebody to look after the baby? And she says, okay. And so the baby is given back to Joe, who looks after Moses for a few months and then returns him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he grows up in Pharaoh's palace. Now, Joe was determined to save her son that God had given her. Okay, not only was she saved from death, but the whole Israelite nation was delivered because of her act of courage. She knew there was something special about Moses, but she may not have known fully that this little baby whose life she saved would deliver God's people from the Egyptians. Isn't that amazing? And in the same way, mothers today are changing nappies, feeding babies, making meals, doing homework, and doing all these things. But who knows where that child will be 15, 20, 30 years from now. What contribution that little child could make in the world to come. Isn't that so? You know, Joe didn't know too much, but what an amazing son she raised up. And so I want to encourage all the mothers this morning. You know, it may seem, oh no, here we go again. They've spilled the milk. They've dropped the food all over the place. They've not made their bed. And it's the same thing going on over and over and over again. You know, and it may seem challenging, but remember, you are shaping somebody who could make a huge difference to humanity. All right. Another mother we look at in the Bible was Hannah. Whose mother was she? Samuel's. All right. Now, Hannah was married to a man who loved her very much. We know that. But this man had two wives. Hannah was one and there was another one. And this other wife used to taunt Hannah because Hannah was barren. Hannah didn't have any children. And it says here in 1 Samuel 1:5 to 6 that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. And that was the situation. But then in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 8 we say Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. So she went to the temple, she prayed, she wept bitterly, and she said, Lord, if you will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. She said, Lord, if you bless me with a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And she was praying so hard that Eli the priest saw her, and he says, she's moving her lips, there's no sound coming. She drunk? That's what he thought. But then he says, okay, the Lord will hear your prayer. And then, you know, God blessed her with Samuel, a son. Now imagine you have one son. What would you do? You know, but she was faithful. She gave him to Eli, to the temple. She said, I'll give him to the Lord. And then, you know what happened? God gave her many other children after that. Isn't that amazing? But then we look at that one son she prayed for. What happened to him? Samuel became the one who anointed two of Israel's greatest kings, Saul and David. Amazing. Wonderful. And God blessed Hannah with five more children and bringing great blessing to her life. So here we see another situation, another woman, and she was willing to give her son up to the Lord. And really, you know, what is it that we want from our children? I think the most important thing is this. Are they following the Lord? All right? Are they serving Him? Serving Him does not mean being a full-time pastor and evangelist, but are their hearts after the Lord? Are they growing in serving Him in any way? And are they living for Him? That is the most precious, precious thing. And Hannah saw that happening. And then, of course, we have a mother and a grandmother in the Bible, which is Eunice and Lois. Do you know who they are? Timothy's mother and grandmother. Okay, now this is amazing. It's not one generation, but it's two generations. And in, you know, so there's only one mention of Lois and Eunice in the Bible. They were the grandmother and the mother of Paul's disciple, Timothy. And these two were commended for this, for raising Timothy in the ways of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul is writing to Timothy's disciple. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Wow, what a commendation that these two women, grandmother passed on to the mother, mother passed on to Timothy the things of God. And that helps us to understand that, you know, we can pass on lots of things to our children. You know, we want to pass on our wealth, our homes, our gold, education, and those are good. But really, one of the most important things to pass on is the life of Jesus that is in us, to pass it on to the next generation. And Timothy's mother and grandmother did that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, again, Paul writing to Timothy says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And verse 15 says, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen, speak to your children about God and His ways right from the time they are born. All right? They can understand, they will pick up. You know, as they are growing, a few months, read them stories from the Bible. Teach them about the things of God. And that is what Timothy's mother and grandmother were commended for doing. All right. So, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? How do we do it? And I've got four things this morning that I'd put before you. And the first thing is appreciate them. Okay, and we can appreciate them by words, we can appreciate them with cards, we can appreciate them today with SMSs and WhatsApp and email, different ways, but we are verbally appreciating them and thanking them for what they have done for us. Today is a wonderful day to call up, if your mother is still alive, to get in touch with your mother and to just express gratitude and thanks for what she has done for you. Now, I don't think anybody here can say my mother was perfect. Nobody has a perfect mother. All right? They all have their faults and their flaws. But really, God says, honor your father and your mother. And one of the things to do is to just appreciate them. Okay. Number two, in which we can honor them, is to accept their authority when we are young. What does that mean? It says, children, Colossians 3:20 says, be obedient to your parents in everything. Okay, now again, as growing up children, we need to accept the authority of our parents. Once we have grown up, Okay, we honor, we respect our parents, but we don't come under their authority. That distinction is very, very important. I want to help us understand this. Okay, when you're an adult, you are responsible for your actions. Okay, before God, you are responsible. And honoring may mean that sometimes you may choose not to agree with your parents on certain decisions. I remember a person, he spoke to me. And he says his parents told him to marry this girl. He says he didn't want to marry the girl. Okay? But because his father said, get married to her, he said, okay, I'll get married to her. It didn't work out. They're divorced. All right? So, there are decisions that you will take as an adult that you are responsible for. Don't put that onus on your parents. As a child, yes, you do what your parents tell you. But once you're an adult, you are responsible for certain decisions before God. Okay, so accept your authority. Number three is treat them with respect. Okay? In Leviticus 19, verse 3 says, each of you must respect your mother and father. In Hebrews 12, 9, we speak about human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. And so, what does respect mean? Respect means in the way we speak to them. Okay, in the way we treat them, we are showing respect. Okay, we are honoring, we are showing respect. And that's important that we do that because God's word says that. And the last thing, number four, is that we may also at some time maybe need to provide for them. Okay, in 1 Timothy 5 verse 4, Paul says when you're let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Have another translation here. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. All right? So if a father or a mother is in need, okay, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are caring for them sufficiently. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, just jump down to verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Right? So we've got to keep that in mind, that our responsibility is if a father or a mother or a parent is in need, we have a responsibility to care for them, especially in their old age. All right, so this morning is Mother's Day. We're saying we want to honor mothers. We want to appreciate them. We want to thank them. We want to obey them, respect them, and provide for them if needed be. But all the mothers who are here this morning, we want to, as a church, thank you for this amazing, amazing job that you are, the position that you are holding. You know, somebody once put a job description of a mother. I don't know if you've read it. You know, it was a long list of things that a mother has to do. So we'd like all the mothers this morning, would you like to stand up? If you're a mother, if you're a grandmother, we want to honor you this morning and ask you to stand up.